Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning to Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. Of course, we're going to be talking about data, but we can't not talk about the events of late yesterday.
Howard, good morning. Indeed, the Facebook outage is all everybody's talking about.
So is it not true that that head of SARS IT, you know, the one that said, save me from yourself in that interview, she hasn't become head of IT at Facebook. It's all a rumor, right?
Yeah, that is definitely not what's happened here. But someone had a very bad day last night.
It sounds like
Facebook's whole engineering team had a very bad day last night, scrambling to get to a California data center to go and reboot machines in person because they couldn't access them remotely. So remote work biting Facebook a bit there, it would seem.
Is this, I mean, we've got no information. All we know is that they have to reboot stuff. But even if they had to reboot it manually, it was down for an incredibly long time.
Yeah, so we do know some things. So firstly, Facebook's put out a statement this morning on its engineering blog to say that it was a network configuration error. Obviously, you know, people can choose whether to take that with a pinch of salt or not, especially in light of the 60 Minutes interview that came out on Sunday. For folks who aren't up to speed, a whistleblower inside Facebook gave an interview to 60 Minutes, which is kind of like our carte blanche, and really revealed a lot of damaging information about Facebook, accusing them of basically intentionally profiting off of hatred and destabilizing countries like Myanmar, essentially for profit. And there's a lot of, I think, conspiracy theories floating out there, but the official line from Facebook is it was essentially human error. Someone made a mistake, a configuration error on one of its core routers, and that caused network communication between Facebook's data centers to be disrupted, and that brought the whole Facebook network down, which is why Facebook couldn't even access its own internal tools. So for those who are more technically inclined, this affected the Border Gateway Protocol, BGP stuff, for Facebook's network, and their routes, their internet routes, were actually withdrawn from the internet. Now, these routes are what allow you and me to connect to Facebook servers. And with those routes offline, the whole Facebook network was offline. And so that impacted Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and Oculus, in addition to all of Facebook's internal tools.
It just seems like an incredibly, incredibly extreme situation that one just...
Yes,
Sorry, carry on.
Sorry to interrupt you, Howard. Sorry about that. But yes, it is. But there is precedent. This is not the first time this has happened. A very similar incident happened in 2019 where Facebook also had to put out a statement to basically dispel rumors that it was a distributed denial of service attack. And it's very much the same thing now. Once again, a mistake in a router configuration, or maybe a set of router configurations that propagated throughout the Facebook network and brought the whole thing crashing down. Pretty much exactly what happened in 2019.
We saw this incredible flood of people to Telegram and Signal last night. Does this have a lasting impact on, let's say, WhatsApp and Facebook? Or is this just a glitch because everybody kind of goes back to what they're comfortable with anyway?
Yeah, it all depends on what happens in the next few weeks and months. It can have a lasting impact on Facebook, and let me explain why I say that. So we saw very similar issues happening around BBM, BlackBerry Messenger. I don't know how many people remember that, back in 2010, 2011 here in South Africa, where the BlackBerry network would either be extremely slow or get knocked offline entirely. And so that left South Africans on BlackBerries, you know, scrambling to find alternatives, and they found WhatsApp. And so BlackBerry went from a position of dominance here in South Africa when it came to mobile instant messaging and just lost it completely to WhatsApp and Facebook, which was already on the up, but the issues on the BlackBerry network just sealed the deal. And so this can have a lasting impact on Facebook, on the uptake of Facebook stuff, with people switching to Telegram and Signal, but it's a process that happens slowly and then all at once. You get like this critical mass of people that has to join a social service, and then everybody moves over. Once your grandma is on Signal or Telegram, then, you know, everybody can move over. But until then, you kind of have to keep the Facebook stuff around.
So as you say, I think that's probably right. I think that if one outage like this people could deal with, but if this starts to happen on a more regular basis, then people need to make sure that they have decent alternatives, because we're completely dependent on this. I mean, this is how we communicate. People were joking on Twitter last night about, well, you know, they can't do this and they can't do that, but a lot of people are working through WhatsApp and sending messages and functioning that way.
Yeah, and it's not just interpersonal communications. It's not just for entertainment or for whatever. There's businesses that are entirely dependent on their livelihoods and the livelihoods of their staff on these systems. And I do hope that yesterday was at least a little bit of a wake-up call, because here in South Africa, for example, our own government uses these United States-based social networks to communicate with the people of South Africa. Our government departments are more diligent about updating their Facebook pages and Twitter and posting to Twitter and WhatsApp than they are about updating their own websites. And that's a recipe for disaster in the case of a wide-scale outage like this. Now, you know, it's not likely to happen, but it can happen. Imagine a situation where we're suddenly cut off from all of these services, Facebook, Twitter, perhaps even Telegram and Signal. Then what do we do? You know, you fall back to SMS and good old voice calls. But the whole infrastructure that government uses now is geared towards posting to Twitter, Facebook and WhatsApp. Absolutely. And they should really rethink that strategy.
100% right. The reason actually that we arranged to speak to you ahead of this outage was because of an article in My Broadband where you're talking about the Independent Communication Authorities, ICASA, trying to force the cellular network operators to compete with internet services and hopefully reduce prices.
Yes, so this is a statement that was issued by the Internet Service Providers Association, who wanted to weigh in on the latest developments regarding the spectrum auction that's been delayed. The Independent Communications Authority, the industry regulator, published a timeline that essentially delayed the spectrum auction to March 2022. They really had no choice, but they had to delay it. And March 2022 might even still be quite an aggressive timeline to meet. And then the licensing of what's called the wireless open access network, a wholesale cellular network that the ISPs of South Africa desperately want. And the licensing of that has been pushed to May. And they were quite disappointed that the WOAN was pushed out so far, because the argument is that they would like to compete with the likes of Vodacom, MTN, and any other mobile network operator in providing cellular services and specifically mobile data. So, and the argument is that when, and the ISPs I'm talking about, think of AfriHost, Access, MWeb, Web Africa, those guys, the guys that you buy your fiber service from. And they would like to compete in the same way that they compete with one another on fiber and DSL. They want to compete with Vodacom and MTN in mobile data provisioning. But here's the catch, is that they need Vodacom and MTN to agree to it, because Vodacom and MTN need to open up their networks on a wholesale basis for these guys to buy wholesale access services on their networks to then resell and then compete against the same network that sold them the wholesale services in retail pricing. Short of this WOAN coming online, that's the only way, is to force Vodacom and MTN to open up their networks to wholesale and allow these ISPs to launch products that then compete against the mobile network operators themselves. That's what they want.
So does this mean practically that we should start to see a further reduction in data pricing?
The reduction in data pricing will come regardless, because the fact is Vodacom, MTN, Rain, Telkom, and even Cell C, even though Cell C is a wholesale buyer itself of Vodacom and MTN services. are aggressively competing on price. But for prices to come down, I'm going to sound like a broken record player. Who remembers those? the spectrum has to be released. Radio frequency spectrum is a raw capacity of a mobile network, of any wireless network. And these networks have been clamoring for more than 10 years for the spectrum to be released. Without it, the prices can't come down, the services can't improve. And we saw the impact of increased spectrum now during the pandemic, when ICASA actually released a bunch of spectrum on an emergency basis to these networks. And we take measurements of these networks on a quarterly basis. You know, every quarter we drive around, I've driven the Bucky myself, and we measure the networks. And the average download speed, in fact, the average speeds in general, have gone up since the pandemic started. And the only reason we can think of to explain this is because of the release of this temporary spectrum. And so the COVID pandemic and the release of the emergency spectrum has, funny enough, given us the evidence to support that, in fact, network quality will improve, and it can be done at relatively low cost to the network operators, which means lower prices. If their cost base can go down, that means that they can pass on savings to us, end user, and reduce the prices. So yes, the prices will come down, but it requires a couple of things. It requires the spectrum to be released, wholesale provisions to be written into licensing conditions, so that the likes of Access, AfriHost, Web Africa, MWeb, whoever, cool ideas if they want, can buy these wholesale services and compete and resell them. And that is still a ways away, unfortunately. The soonest we'll see the spectrum auction finish is March 2022.